RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Lemhanas plays an active role in educating national cadre leaders. Economic cooperation by approaching Muslim countries. Now the news in detail. The National Resilience Institute Lemhanas keeps on increasing its role in providing education of nationality and statesmanship for the national leaders. The values must be applied by the national leaders. This was stated by Governor of Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, to media people on the sidelines of opening program of regular level 66-2017 for 115 national participants and 11 foreign participants at Lemhanas in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Lemhanas itu mempunyai kurikulum yang bersifat peran tetap, yaitu pertama,
National Resilience Institute Lemhanas has three fixed curriculums, firstly to educate cadre of national leaders with statesmanship insight, secondly to strengthen values of nationality, thirdly doing strategy analysis for president. But how we can manage the briefing material to be an implemented material which can be implemented when the participant pass from the Lemhanas and back to work.
Para peserta nanti lulus dari Lemhanas dan kembali ke jabatan pekerjaan masing-masing.
Moreover, Governor of Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, further said that Lemhanas keeps on facing challenges how to materialize the values of nationality inherited by the founding fathers. He explained that Lemhanas must be dynamic in finding the substantial values from what has been inherited by the founding fathers, so Lemhanas can face current national problems. President Joko Widodo and King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud led the bilateral meeting between the Governor of Indonesia and Saudi Arabian Kingdom, which consists of 14 ministers and 16 princes at the Bogor Palace, West Java. On the occasion, the President conveyed welcome greeting to King Salman and his entourage on his visit for 9 days. President Joko Widodo views that Saudi Arabia is one of the most important partners in the Middle East, both social and political aspects. In the field of economic cooperation with the government of Saudi Arabia, the president pushed through approach to Muslim countries. The economic cooperation is in line with the vision of Saudi Arabia in 2030.
Bagi Indonesia, Arab Saudi merupakan salah satu.
For Indonesia, Saudi Arabia is one of the most important partners in the Middle East, either social or political relations. I believe Indonesia is able to become strategic partner in a bid to reach 2030 vision of Saudi Arabia through economic cooperation, which is tied as a Muslim country.
2030 Arab Saudi melalui kerjasama ekonomi yang erat sebagai sesama negara Muslim.
Indonesia and Saudi Arabia are two big countries with the majority Muslim population. Each country has important influence in the G20 and the OIC membership. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that over the last 2 years, the two countries have developed intensive relations to enhance cooperation. In the last 2 years, the two countries have developed intensive relations to improve cooperation. The meeting of the two leaders has taken place with a very friendly and productive manner. Besides discussing the important issues relating to the interests of people, The two leaders also agreed to increase cooperation in various fields, such as trade and investment. Specifically, President Joko Widodo appreciated that Indonesian Hajj quota returns to normal levels to reach 211,000 and provisional additional quota for 2017 amounting to 10,000. Head of the National Agency for Combating Terrorism and Police Commissioner General Suhardi Aliu held a meeting with Turkish Ambassador to Indonesia, Mehmet Kadir Sandes Kurbus, in Jakarta on Wednesday. During the meeting, the police and the ambassador exchanged information about terrorism, especially related to group of Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. General Suhardi Aliu said that the meeting is important because the agency will make a visit to Turkey related to many Indonesian citizens who are in the country and suspected to cross to Syria. The agency also obtained information from the ambassador of the Indonesia in Turkey, Wardana, that there is Indonesian citizen who becomes foreign terrorist fighter FDR in Syria and wants to return to Indonesia through Turkey, both through formal and informal link. General Suhardi further said that he has asked the Turkish ambassador to postulate the meeting of the agency with the authority of Turkish government, which authorized in handling the problem when visiting the country. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Environment and Forestry Ministry has completed a strategic environmental assessment of the Tripa swamp in Aceh, a crucial document needed to protect the home of many native and endangered animals in Sumatra, including Sumatran orangutans. The document will ensure that any development planning conducted by central and regional governments must comply with the principle of sustainable development as stipulated in Law No. 23/2014 on regional administration. San Afri Awang, the Minister of Planology, Director General, said on Wednesday that all parties are asked to support the government's attempts to improve the country's environment and natural resources. Tripa swamp is important for orangutans because it is the only habitat left in Sumatra. A big potential of marine industry which belongs to Indonesia will be used as one of ways to increase competitiveness at the era of ASEAN Economic Community AEC by being capable to encourage maximally. This was stated by Rio Governor Arsya Yuliandi Rahman in an event in Pekanbaru on Thursday. The governor said that the competitiveness of AEC is much tighter with any regulation that facilitates mutually among countries in ASEAN. He also added that with a lot of marine potential which continues to grow, it is one of Indonesian competitive edges in ASEAN Economic Community because Indonesia has extraordinary maritime potential. The last item, as many as 200 foreign tourists will hold a visit to Jayapura, Papua Province by using cruise ship on Sunday, March 5, 2017. Head of Culture and Tourism of Jayapura City, Vednat Vinkriu, said in Jayapura that his office does not hold special preparation to welcome the tourists. The tourist visit coincides with the Archipelago Cultural Festival performance, which is held to commemorate the anniversary of a 107th Jayapura city. Hopefully, the tourists can witness the archipelago's wealth because the parade will perform the cultures throughout Indonesia. Bernard also pointed out that the tourists only visit Jayapura for only several hours. The short visit is expected to bring about positive impact for the community's economy in the capital city of Papua. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The Last Period of Tax Amnesty. The period of reporting the wealth in the form of tax amnesty program will end March 31, 2017. This is in accordance with the tax amnesty regulation which has been applied since July 1 and will end March 31, 2017. For the government of Indonesia, the tax amnesty program is very important. Thus, President Joko Widodo visited directly a number of cities to disseminate the program. On Tuesday, February 28, 2017, the President called on all society, including employers, to immediately complete reporting their assets in the tax amnesty program. The government is targeting redemption from the tax amnesty program amounting to 165 trillion rupiah, with the fund repatriated from abroad reaching 1,000 trillion rupiah and the fund declared amounting to 4,000 trillion rupiah, both domestically and abroad. With the repatriation fund, which has been catapulted, the tariff of redemption on the final period from January 1st March until 31st 2017 is 5%. As for the declared or reported fund is 0%. If any taxpayers who do not follow the tax amnesty and the data found on the taxpayer's wealth, which was gained during the period January 1, 1985 until 31st December 2015, and this has not been reported in the letter of notification tax or SPT, it is considered as additional income and tax and sanctions. The government will also apply maximum penalty against taxpayers who disobey their obligation, such as fining 2% per month or 48% for 2 years. The tax amnesty itself is the elimination of tax which is owed, not just subject to administrative sanction and criminal sanctions in the taxation. The tax amnesty is a breakthrough policy with benefits and higher economic growth, the expansion of valid, comprehensive and integrated database of taxation and increase of state tax revenue. For Indonesia, the achievement of the tax amnesty is one of the best programs compared to other countries that have implemented similar programs such as Chile and India. President Joko Widodo in the near future will issue regulation in lieu of law or decree on access of information among countries in the world for the purpose of taxation. The information access has been agreed and signed by most countries in the world. This is aimed at preventing every country's citizens who commit tax evasion by investing their assets abroad. This regulation will be brought to the G20 meeting in Hamburg, Germany on July 7, 2017. By starting the implementation of the decree on June 2018, all countries can gain access to information on various matters relating to taxation, including the assets of Indonesian citizens abroad. Anyone could no longer hide his or her wealth within the country and abroad. As a result, the taxpayers can no longer avoid paying their tax, so each country is ready to implement the agreement. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 2, 1962. Will Chamberlain score 100 points? Wilton Norman Chamberlain, or more well known as Wilt Chamberlain, who was born on 21st of August 1936 and passed away 12th of October 1999, was NBA basketball player. He became one of the best basketball players of the United States. Chamberlain held many records in NBA history and set a record in scoring, rebound, and other categories. He was the only one NBA basket player who was able to record more than 40 and 50 points in one season. On 2nd of March 1960, he scored 100 points, which is still the highest score in a game. He scored the most points in NBA history before finally his score was broken by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on 5th of April 1984. Along his career, he succeeded to reach 23,924 rebounds, and the number of rebounds was the most rebounds in history of the United States basketball. The next event is that Concorde was operated on 2nd of March 1969 for the first time. Concorde is a British French turbojet-powered supersonic passenger jet airliner which was created in 1950s and is a corporation product of the United Kingdom and France. Concorde was operated for the first time on 2nd of March 1969
69th. Because of operational cost which was expensive and several times fatal accident, since 2003, Concorde did not fly again. Then Air France and British Airways did not operate Concorde again. And the last event was in 1959, when the use of name of Bandung Institute of Technology was officially inaugurated. Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, is a state co-educational research university located in Bandung, West Java, Indonesia. Previously, the institute was Technical High School, which has established since Dutch East Indies era with the name of Technische Hogeschool de Bandung. The TH Bandung, which was officially inaugurated on July 3, 1920. After the Independence War, since 2nd of February 1950, Technical High School was part of University of Indonesia to become Faculty of Engineering and the Faculty of Exact and Natural Sciences. This faculty is separated from the University of Indonesia, and on 2nd of March 1959, the government of Indonesia officially inaugurated the establishment of Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, based on the Government's Rules No. 6, 1959. As of early 2016, ITB had 9 undergraduate study programs which had been internationally accredited from an independent US-based accrediting institution, Accreditation Board for Engineering and Technology, where ITB and Bogor Agricultural University, IPB, are the only public university in Indonesia with this particular international accrediting institution. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. It's nice to be with you in our regular program, Focus, through Arrival Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's Focus is Fashion ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. 3 million construction workers will be certified. The Minister of Public Works and Public Housing targets 3 million workers in the construction sector to be certified in a bid to improve competitiveness and competence of the construction sector in Indonesia. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono targets approximately 1.2 million construction workers to have certificates over the next 3 years before the government of Joko Widodo end, while the remaining 1.8 million workers are targeted after 2019. After attending a national executive meeting of the National Construction Contractors Association of Indonesia, GAPENSI, in Jakarta on Monday, Mr. Basuki said that in 1 year, 400,000 workers received certificates. Thus, from 2017 to 2019, in total, there are 1.2 million workers to be certified. Minister Hadi Mulyono Basuki also explained by the enactment of Law No. 2, 2017 on construction services, the construction labor certification is the responsibility of the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing. The competitiveness can be improved, especially on the pre-market. He views that the Indonesian National Construction Contractor Association, GAPENSI, should be able to invite business people to have a certified construction and specialization or the development more specific skills. He also said without certification, Indonesia will not compete well, at least in ASEAN region. The certification is later to determine the amount of wages they will receive. He said that the installments of the certified workforce must be accelerated in order to face the competition among construction workers in the world, or at least adjust the construction standards in the countries of Southeast Asian region. Then, in the formation of labor certified, the ministry will emphasize aspects on technical ability, health and safety factors. On the same occasion, Director of Institutional Research Construction, Supriyat Nayaya, explained that the ministry will work together with the Minister of Manpower and the Minister of Industry-related Standards Certification Test. In addition, Professional Certification Agency Business Entity is formed by the Association of Accredited Construction Field. Then Construction Service Development Board, LPGK, will grant a license to the issuance of certificates. Yaya Supriyan also said that, for example, Gapensi will later fund a business entity certification body. Only accredited association could fund the agency. In addition to the requirement to hold a certificate, the ministry also encourages business people in the construction services to develop special expertise such as road construction, irrigation, and dams as a way to improve competitiveness. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here in Simbrit, read by Rahmana. The National Resilience Institute Lemhanas keeps on increasing its role in providing education of nationality and statesmanship for the national leaders. President Joko Widodo and King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud led a bilateral meeting between the government of Indonesia and Saudi Arabian Kingdom, which consists of 40 ministers and 16 princes, at the Bogor Palace, West Java. Head of the National Agency for Combating Terrorism, Police Commissioner General Suhardiolu, held a meeting with Turkish Ambassador to Indonesia, Mehmet Kadir Sander Gurbus, in Jakarta on Wednesday. The Environment and Forestry Ministry has completed a strategy environmental assessment of the Tripas Swamp in Aceh, a crucial document needed to protect the hood of many native and endangered animals in Sumatra, including Sumatran orangutans. Bid potential marine industry which belongs to Indonesia will be used as a one way to increase competitiveness at the era of ASEAN Economic Community AC by being capable to encourage maximally. This was stated by Rio Governor Arsya Yuliandi Rahman in Ipan in Pekanbaru on Thursday. As many as 200 foreign tourists will hold a visit to Jayapura Papua province by using cruise ship on Sunday, March 5, 2017. Head of the Culture and Tourism of Jayapura, Bernard, said in Jayapura this office does no special preparation to welcome the tourists. The tourist visit coincides with Archipelago Culture Festival performance, which is held to commemorate the anniversary of 107th Jayapura City. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Yogyakarta to visit Gedat Waterfall. Stay tuned. Listener, Gunung Kidul is one of region seas in Yogyakarta. The landscape of Gunung Kidul consists of highlands and mountains, which is dominantly by karst mountain area or limestone that stretches up to the southern part of Java Island and is divided into three topographical regions. The south zone in Gunung Kidul is dominated by limestone hill. with 300 meters high above sea level. In the zone, you can find some famous beaches in Gunung Kidul. While on the central zone, you can find an interesting waterfall and a number of cultural tourism objects. At the last, the north zone, which is located at an altitude of between 200 to 700 meters above sea level. In the zone, you can find some beautiful caves. Listener, traveling to the middle zone of Gunung Kidul, you will find a variety of beautiful waterfalls. One of them is Gedat Waterfall. The waterfall is located in the Gedat Hamlet, Banyu Suco Village, Playan Sub-District. It is called Gedat Waterfall because the waterfall is located in Gedat Hamlet. Some called it Banyu Suco Waterfall or Playan Waterfall, which is also based on the location of the waterfall. From the city center, it is located approximately 50 kilometers with a distance about 2 hours drive. To enjoy the natural charm of Gedat Waterfall, you have to buy a ticket of 5,000 rupiah, include for parking fee. The vehicles that you take must be parked near the local houses, then you have to walk about 50 meters to the waterfall. Listener, the small limestone street becomes the track that must be taken when you walk. Towering shade trees become the typical landscape of the area on the way to the waterfall. On the sides of the road, you also see the traders who sell a variety of food and beverages. When arriving at the location, you will see a small waterfall. After continue to walk up to the location behind the limestone cliffs, after passing the down road on the left of the small waterfall, you will find the Gedat Waterfall site. On the tourism side, you will be treated to a captivated panoramic view. The water is clear and clean, which flows from the limestone hills. Listener, Gedat Waterfall has its own uniqueness, although it is only 10 to 15 meters high. The walls are white and staircase steps, so the water down as it comes out from the walls. The natural enchantment is appropriate for a background of your photographs. Wooden and bamboo bridges and the towering coconut trees adding the exotic values to the location of the waterfall. On the top of Gedat Waterfall, you also can see a boarding school from Kiai Dardak Heritage, the village elder. In addition to take pictures, you can enjoy the freshness of the waterfall. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Gedat Waterfall in Yogyakarta. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Wonderful Indonesia booth, which receive an award in the U.S. Mm-hmm.
good news is coming from United States, where Wonderful Indonesia booth received 2 awards in Los Angeles Travel and Adventure Show 2017 in the United States on February 18 to 19, 2017. The Indonesian booth received the Best of Show Cultural Display and the Best Dance World Heritage Cultural Center. Wonderful Indonesia booth performance has defeated other countries' performance, such as China, Spain, Panama, Tahiti, Egypt, and other Middle East countries. The achievement brings about pride for Indonesia and shows that Indonesian creativity becomes the world's taste. The Wonderful Indonesia Pavilion also shows hospitality by providing many kinds of Indonesian culinary, traditional food and beverage. Indonesia also performs some Indonesian traditional dances such as Bajidor Kahot, Cigrik Ndat Mass Dance, Plate Dance, and Banyuwangi Carnival. It also shows destination theater of soft adventures of Wonderful Indonesia, people, culture, and nature presented by Paul Edmundus of Bali and Heri Rudianto of Yogyakarta. The pavilion's success attracted American citizens to have journeyed to Indonesia. As many as 9 tourism industries that consist of 5 Indonesian travel agents, 3 US travel agents, and 1 Singapore Airlines receive an order to several Indonesian tourism destinations. The Indonesian government has targeted 15 million foreign tourists. The target is higher compared with last year of 12 million foreign tourists. The program promotion has been done effectively by the Indonesian government through the tourism ministry to achieve the target. One of them was participating in the Los Angeles Travel and Adventure Show 2017. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that has informed you about Wonderful Indonesia booth, which received an award in the U.S. I'm Nika Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to an Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a singer and actress, model, movie player, and outstanding advertisement model in Indonesia, who is also a member of the House of Representatives DPR, Desi Ratnasari. On the glass screen of televisions, she got many achievements. Desi played in dozens of TV series on some private television stations in the country and played in several movies, while a number of advertisement products she was also played. In the 2000s, the name of Desi Ratnasari actually became the young's idol. One song that popularized by Desi entitled Tenda Biru. The song tells the story about regret to someone who left his girlfriend to turn to another one. Sense of disappointment was described in the song entitled Tenda Biru by Desi Ratnasari. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Tenda Biru by Desi Ratnasari. Enjoy the song. Listener, Desi Ratnasari began her career since the age of 14 years, from modeling and then moved to singing. During she ran her career in pop music industry in the country, Desi has released a number of albums that put on the top of the Indonesian music charts. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sampai Hati by Desi Ratnasari. Happy listening.
Cintaku kepada dirimu, semua ku serahkan untukmu. Demi sayangku pada dirimu, ku rela berkorban untukmu. Walau sekian lama aku harus menunggu, aku tetap menunggu dirimu. Demi rasa sayang, rasa cintaku yang tulus dari dalam hatiku. Mimpi pun aku tak ingin jauh. Selama-lamanya ku ingin dekat denganmu. Aku ingin miliki dirimu. Tapi kenyataan tak seindah mimpiku. Jatuh lagi air mataku. Kering jadi layu bunga cintaku. Kau hancurkan harapanku. Apa dikata semua telah terjadi. Aku rela mungkin harus begini. Sampai hati.
Listener, the song Sampai Hati is not much different with the song Tenda Biru. A heart cry when the beloved man bear to heart. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Lembaran Baru by Desi Ratnasari. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Saat kita baru berjumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.